turn to Ephesians 1, verse 15. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, after commending the Ephesians for their faith in Jesus, Paul goes on to praise them for the fact that their salvation is real. How does Paul know that it is real? Because it is bearing fruit. Paul tells them that he has heard about their love unto all the saints. The Ephesian believers are proving the reality of their profession by the way they are living their lives. One of the defining characteristics of the true Christian is the love that they have for others. And this love is especially true for other Christians. Consider the following passages. 1 John 3:14-15. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. 1 John 4:7-12. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God, and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us, and his love is perfected in us. What a verse. God dwells in us. 1 John 4:20-21. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God, whom he has not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loves his brother also. John 13:34-35. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men shall know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Paul is telling us that love for the brethren is our calling card. If we do not possess genuine love for our fellow saints, we are simply not saved. There's no way around that. The characteristics of genuine spiritual love are found in 1 Corinthians 13:1-8. If those characteristics are missing, then we are just sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 13:1-8. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. he's talking about somebody suffering a martyr's death. And he's saying without love, it profits nothing. Love suffers long, is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. That's, brothers and sisters, what true love is. That's agape love. That is the plumb line to which we are called. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. But without love, we, brothers and sisters, are nothing. And there's no way around it. True salvation flows from the heart of the believer out to others. Others. That's why you see all the others. Love one another. Bear with one another. Comfort one another. That's what those anothers are all about. It's about true love. Agape love. Agape love gives and expects nothing in return. And if we do not possess genuine love for our fellow saints, we are simply not saved. Simply not saved. If this is not true in your life, what you see in 1 Corinthians 13, if there has not been a change in your life from love suffers long and is kind. Now, at one time you were unregenerate and these characteristics weren't true of you. But are they true now? I didn't say they were perfect. But is it true of you now? Love suffers long and is kind. You were unkind, now you're kind. Love does not envy. You used to envy everybody. Now you're satisfied. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. Prideful. The opposite of being prideful. Does not behave rudely. You want to bless your brothers and sisters. Does not seek its own. Like I said, none of us are doing this perfectly. But is that the goal? Is that your heart's desire? Is that what you want? Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things, rejoicing in the truth. This is something we need to seriously look at. And I say that we need to seriously look at it because Jesus Christ seriously looks at it. True salvation produces fruit. Fruits resulting, coming from love. John 3:18. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. See, your actions betray your beliefs. If you say that you love, your actions are going to betray your beliefs. The love of the Ephesians that this very book was written to, these very believers that heard these great truths in the first couple of chapters of Ephesians of what they were in Christ. Yet, look at what our Lord has to say to them in the book of Revelation. Revelation 2, verses 4 and 5. First of all, in the first couple of verses of chapter 2, the Lord commends them. Your labor, your patience, you can't bear with those that are evil. You tested those who said they're apostles, they're not, they're liars. You persevered. You have patience. You labored for my name's sake. You haven't become weary. But notice in verse 4, nevertheless. See, basically those first couple of verses is what we read in Corinthians. You could do all of these things. But nevertheless, verse 4, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. That you've left your first love. That is, they allowed their love for Christ and for others to become cold and lifeless. They were still active in their service of the Lord, but they were no longer serving out of love. They were serving out of habit. Serving out of, well, I gotta do this. And Jesus Christ warned them that chastisement was coming if they didn't repent. Look at verse 5 of Revelation 2. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. See, Christ preached repentance. And he preached repentance from their dead works, their loveless works. They left their first love. And Ephesus failed to heed this warning. The warning that was given them. And today, there's no basically Christian church where that great city used to be. Used to stand, I should say. Ephesus is of no consequence today. They didn't repent. And the question is, do you and I need to repent today? Do we serve out of love? Or do we serve out of some kind of guilt trip, or trying to achieve our good works, or we have to do this? That's what's expected out of us, out of habit. Serious words given to the Ephesians and given to us. The fate of the church at Ephesus is a warning to us. We need to examine our own hearts and look and see if our love for the Lord and for others is as it should be. And if it isn't, we need to repent. Or there'll be a price for us to pay for our disobedience. We say things like, well, I love them in the Lord. That's quite a telling statement. It signals that our love is not unconditional. Love is supposed to be agape love. Unconditional love. Our love for others is not to be based on their treatment of us. We must learn to love regardless of how we're treated by others. We must love in spite of injury. We must love without thought for our own feelings or desires. Our love is the greatest indication that we're saved. Where do you find yourself today? Paul is praising these believers because their profession in Christ is bearing fruit for God's glory in the world. Their faith is real and it manifests itself in works for his glory, works of love. There are many people in our world who claim to be saved by the grace of God, but who bear absolutely zero fruit for his glory. They bear fruit, but the fruit they bear is the unfruitful works of darkness. You can claim to be a Christian all day, but what is the works? What are the works? The fruit that many bear is really the works of the flesh. On the other hand, every person who is truly saved by the grace of God will bear fruit for his glory. And what kind of fruit is that? The fruit of the Spirit. Love and peace and joy and goodness and kindness and gentleness, faithfulness and long-suffering. And what I was reading in 1 Corinthians 13, kindness, gentleness. Jesus put it this way. Even so, every good tree brings forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. He also said this, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. A life that has been saved by grace will give clear evidence of the Lord's presence in that life. A life that has never been converted will also give clear evidence by displaying the works of the flesh. This is a good place for us to stop. Paul is praising these saints because they have believed the gospel unto salvation, and they have proved the reality of their profession through their lives and their love. The message to us from this passage seems clear to me. This is a call for us to examine our lives. We need to look within and see, first of all, where we stand with the Lord. Are you saved? Have you believed the gospel of grace? Is your faith in Christ alone for salvation? Have you come the Bible way, repenting of your sins and trusting in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ for your soul's salvation? Is he your Lord? We need to examine our lives today to see whether or not we are bearing fruit for the glory of God. Do you love the brethren? That is such a telling sign, brothers and sisters. Do you love the brethren? Do you have a hunger for the things of God? Do you love his word, love his people, love his church? Do you possess a desire for holiness and a hatred for sin? Do you love the Lord and allow him to live through you for his glory? Or is your life a contradiction? Do you claim to be one thing while you live another way and act another way? That's called hypocrisy. We are all hypocritical from time to time. But true believers will repent of their sins and turn away from them. In other words, you don't keep going on living in your sin. You repent and you move on. You fall again and you repent and you move on. The question is, are you repenting and moving on? Or are you still living in the same sins for 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years? Are you moving on? The scripture says that you're not a slave to sin. Why are you a slave to sin? Are you regenerate? And if you are regenerate, you need to count it true that you no longer are a slave to sin. That sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under law, but you're under grace. Now, are you a slave of sin? Or are you a slave of righteousness? Paul said your life should be characterized by the fact that you are no longer a slave of sin, but now you are a slave of righteousness. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. That indicates a life that sin is not the dominant thing in your life. That is not the dominant thing. Do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead. Instruments of righteousness to God. We've been set free from sin, and we've become slaves of righteousness. And the motivation of all of this is love. Do you love the brethren? And if you're not a child of God, my friend, if you're listening today, and you're like, what is this guy talking about? Loving unconditionally, loving people that hate you, loving people that think the worst of you and want the worst of you, yet you're saying to love them. I know before I was a believer in Jesus Christ, if I would have heard these things, I would have said, you're out of your mind. But after becoming a child of God and being regenerate and God dwelling in us, my view has changed because I'm no longer that person. I'm a new creature. And the driving force, the motivating force behind everything is love. And out of love for Christ and out of love for your soul, whoever you may be that's listening, I would exhort you to come to Christ today. Repent of your sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Love is what the Christian life is all about. And love manifests itself in action. Let us love one another, brethren.